The New Testament reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving mercy and grace, that by your grace we can devote this day as a day of rest and as a day to worship our living God. And we also thank you that through this time of worship we can come before your precious living word. So Heavenly Father, we humbly pray that you would help us now to have a clear understanding of your word, and also help us to enjoy your word by the help of your Spirit, and help us to see your loving mercy and grace. And especially as we look into the aspects of Christ's suffering, help us to have a clear understanding of what this suffering would mean to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we live in this present world, we expect our society to be fair, and we expect social justice to prevail. But the sad reality is that we can easily witness injustice or unfairness in our society. So for example, even in our family and friend relationship, we can see people treating each other unfairly. Even at work, we see our bosses, our managers, and our employees treating other people unfairly as well. And many Christians in Victoria are about to face a greater injustice as well, as the anti-conversion therapy bill has passed the parliament. This now means that many Christians in Victoria can be criminalized for doing what is right. So in such circumstances, the question I would like to raise with you is this: how do we normally respond when we are treated unfairly? How do we normally respond when we witness and experience such injustice in our society? And the danger here is that this can easily make us to be upset, and this could serve as an opportunity for us to repay evil for evil. I mean, when we become victims of injustice, this can certainly make us very upset and angry and aggressive, and we often use that as an excuse to justify our evil behavior. So we say, because that person did such a thing first, it is okay for me to insult back and repay evil for evil. And such response can certainly please us. But the question here is, would that be pleasing to God as well? And the answer is obviously no. And through today's passage, we see Jesus who became a great victim of injustice. And yet, instead of repaying evil for evil, Jesus is leaving us a great example for us to see and follow. So for tonight's sermon, I will first discuss the aspects of injustice that Jesus experienced during this process of trial before the Pilate. And secondly, I will talk about Jesus' response to this great evil of injustice. And then lastly, I will talk about what we can learn from such example of Jesus. So firstly, one obvious picture we see from today's passage is that we see Jesus' suffering of great evil of injustice. So after Jesus was arrested by the Sanhedrin, as I mentioned in the last sermon, that although they had a certain authority in religious and civil matters, they did not have the authority to exercise death penalty on someone. And for this reason, they take Jesus to the Roman governor named Pilate. And we can see that they are demanding him to impose death penalty on Jesus by crucifying him. So, and because of this, Jesus is now standing before Pilate in the process of trial to receive his final verdict. And it is like Jesus is standing before the judge for the final sentencing. And we notice from today's passage that this whole process of trial was not really a fair trial. And we see a great element of injustice from today's passage. So when we first look at verse 10, we see that Pilate was well aware of the reason why Jesus was arrested. So if you look at verse 10, it says that it was out of envy. It was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. And this means he knew that Jesus was there, not because he did something wrong to be punished and charged, but it was because of the Jewish leader's jealousy that he was arrested and standing before him. And this further means Pilate was well aware of Jesus' innocence. But despite the fact that he knew about his innocence, we see him making really an unfair verdict from today's passage. And we see this with the case of Barabbas. So if you look at verse 6, we see that during this festive season, they had this custom of releasing a criminal from the prison. And this means Pilate had the opportunity to release Jesus as well. But instead of releasing him, he decides to release a convicted criminal, a worst type of criminal who had committed murder. And this is really a great example of injustice where the worst kind of criminal is set free and the innocent one, Christ, is put to death. And we also see this evil motive of Pilate behind this decision. And when we look at verse 15, it says that, so Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd. And this tells us that his motivation for this decision was mainly to satisfy the Jewish leaders, to please the people in that court. So here, as Jesus was going through the process of trial before the Roman governor, instead of being treated fairly, like we would normally expect from any justice system, he was rather treated unfairly. Now, what's really interesting to observe from today's passage is that despite this great example of injustice, Jesus still remains very calm. And Mark is really stressing Jesus' silence here. And one interesting observation that was made by a commentator, David Garland, is that in the Passion narrative, when he examines the verbs that are used to describe Jesus, only for the 9 times, Jesus is the subject of verbs, whereas he is the object of the verb for 56 times. This means that during this period of Jesus' suffering and trial, Jesus is no longer described as the one who initiates actions, but he is rather described as the one who is greatly affected by others' action. In other words, it is no longer about what Jesus is doing, but it is about what others are doing to Jesus. And Jesus is in the passive position to be affected by others' action. So the question we can raise at this point is this: how is it that the Son of God, the King of the Kings, could be in this passive position to be treated in such way? I mean, when Pilate asked the question of, "Are you the King of the Jews?" in verse 2, and yet again Jesus affirms that, "Yes, I am. I am the King of the Jews." But how is it that this innocent King of glory and power is abused and treated in such abusive way? I mean, if we see verse 15, we can see the details of abuse that Jesus went through. And in the middle of verse 15, it says that having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And when it says having scourged, the another common word for scourging is flogging. And when we see that flogging was a cruel and merciless preparation for crucifixion. And according to the ancient historian Josephus, he describes that before the crucifixion, flogging would involve stripping the prisoner and bound him to a post so that he does not move, and beating the prisoner with a leather whip put together with bones and metals. And flogging was so brutal that some prisoners even died before reaching the cross to be crucified. So we can easily imagine that Jesus was really treated in harsh way when verse 15 says that he was flogged. So the question again is, how is it that this innocent Son of God suffered from great injustice and greatly abused physically and emotionally? Was it because he was powerless? Or was it because he did something wrong to deserve such punishment from people? And the answer is obviously no. But we see it was for our sin, that though he had no sin, he was crucified as a sinner to pay the penalty of his people's sin. And we also see another important reason of why Jesus went through such suffering, though he was without sin. And we see it was to leave us. It was to leave us an example to follow when we also face suffering through injustice. As mentioned earlier, because we are living in a fallen world, we see our society is full of injustice. At home, at work, we can be treated unfairly. And we often become the victims of such injustice. And when we suffer from that, the temptation for us is to repay evil for evil. And the problem here is that we often use that as an excuse to justify our evil behavior. I remember watching a short movie trailer on YouTube, and I was really shocked by the level of violence of the movie. So I won't really mention of the name, as I don't want to encourage you to watch that movie. But the plot line of the movie is that there is one happy family guy who lost his family by these evil guys. And the victim begins to take vengeance on the bad guys by using extreme level of violence. And this movie justifies such violence because it was the bad guys who did that first. And so just like the message of this movie, our fallen world also tells us that it is okay for us to do bad things if someone did that to us first. They say it is okay to repay evil for evil if someone did that first to us. But the teaching of the Bible is very clear that we are not to repay evil for evil. And we see Jesus is the one who became, who showed us the perfect example of this truth. Then as we try to understand this truth, we might wonder, what benefit is there for us to be patient and to be silent when someone is doing bad things to us? It will just make us look like a losers. And I know that it is a very difficult thing to endure such thing, but the Bible tells us the great value of enduring such suffering. So to explain of why endurance is so valuable, we first see it is valuable because it is a way of following and imitating our Lord. And from today's passage, we saw that Christ is the one who became the perfect example of not repaying evil for evil. And this means one of the good ways for us to follow and imitate Christ is also when we decide not to repay evil for evil. So the first value we see is that it is a way to follow and imitate our Lord Christ. And secondly, we see another reason of why not repaying evil for evil is so valuable. Because although being silent and enduring such evil may seem like a passive thing to do, it is, in other hand, an active act of trusting our sovereign Lord. So for example, let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. We're going to have that on the screen. And Apostle Peter really well explains about this from this verse. So from middle of verse 20, Peter says this, "But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, and this is gracious thing in the sight of God." This is gracious thing in the sight of God. So we see Peter here is also talking about the value of endurance when we suffer from injustice. And he further says in verse 21 that for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In verse 22, he first said, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." And 23, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." So Peter here also affirms that not repaying evil for evil is a way of following Christ, for he is the one who became a perfect example of this. And Peter further writes in verse 23 that the reason Christ did not repay evil for evil is because he trusted God who judges justly. So again, when we suffer from injustice, being silent may seem like a passive thing to do, but we see that based on this word, we see it is actually an active act of trusting our sovereign Lord who judges justly. And indeed, the Bible tells us that the day of Christ's return will be a day of great judgment, where people who do not trust Christ will be judged and condemned according to their evil deeds. So when we see prevailing evil in our society, don't think that God is unfair or he is ignorant of that great evil. But it is God who is just showing his patience by delaying that judgment. And eventually, there will be a day of great judgment where our mighty God will judge the world with his perfect justice. And now knowing this great truth will not only prevent us from repaying evil for evil, but it will even lead us to be gracious and compassionate towards our enemies. For we know that if our enemy continue their evil deeds, they will be ultimately condemned and judged by our God. And if you look at Acts, for example, Stephen is the one who really displayed a good example of this truth. So when we look at Acts chapter 7, we see that Stephen was also a great victim of injustice, where he was stoned to death by sharing the gospel. And if you look at Acts chapter 7, verse 60, while he was dying, he says that, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." So we see he prays for his enemies that their sin of killing an innocent man may be forgiven. So he is really showing the element of compassion, compassionate and gracious. So like this example, when we endure the suffering as an act of trusting our sovereign Lord, it will not only prevent us from repaying evil for evil, but it will even lead us to be gracious and compassionate towards our enemies. So as I conclude tonight's sermon, as we are living in this fallen world, there will be times we will be treated unfairly and suffer a great evil of injustice. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, also tells us that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And in such vulnerable situation, it is tempting and it is also very easy for us to repay evil for evil and justify our evil behavior. But on the other hand, I would like to encourage you to see the value of patiently enduring from such suffering. For it is the way, it is a way to follow and imitate our Lord. And it is also an active act of trusting our sovereign Lord. So I greatly encourage you to suffer patiently and even love our enemies by knowing this truth. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lamb of God who was abused and suffered for our sin. And Heavenly Father, we also learn that Christ not only died, but he was also risen in glory, defeating the power of sin and death. And he is the one who will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. So as we trust our God as the great judge, and as we trust this wonderful truth, help us not to repay evil for evil and justify our evil behavior, but help us to be patient, help us to endure, and help us even to be compassionate and gracious towards our enemies. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.